Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
My name is Jonathan, and I have the privilege of being the congregational leader here in this awesome town of Worthing. And it's good to see that some people are here for the first time. You're really welcome. We've been praying for you for many years and believing God for you and with you for many years. And even as Richard mentioned, last Wednesday we were in here, and God really had us praying for the body, the church in Worthing, and really speaking God's blessing over it and God's strength over it, because we believe that God is building a very wonderful church in this place. Yeah. He wants to build a strong church, a healthy church, a vibrant church. He wants to build a fruitful church. He wants to build a faith-filled church. He wants to build a church that was extraordinary, using really ordinary things like you and me. And I thank you that God is very good at doing that. Have a look around the room. If you don't believe that God is a God of faith, look who's here tonight. We're here tonight, and I'm amazed that God can use people like me and people like us. It is awesome. Hi, Josh. Josh has been here once before. It's good to see Josh here again. The second time, we love people who want to find out more about Jesus. Ha-ha. Come on. So, we've just been having a great kind of series over these last few weeks, looking at heroes. And we've done about five or six. The heroes that we're looking at come out of one book of the Bible, the book of Hebrews, which isn't about making tea, right? It's not that kind of book. Okay, you need to speed up a little bit. It's a book to the Hebrews. And in chapter 11, which is kind of near the end of it, it gives a whole list of tremendous men and women. And a lot of Christians call that the Hall of Fame or the Heroes Book of Faith or whatever you want to call it. People like Noah and Abraham and Isaac, and people like Moses, and some of these tremendously significant characters that God used in certain ways through history. But there's a couple of things in that which we just need to be aware of. Firstly, is that the Bible goes on near the end of that chapter that none of these people, even though they were great at their time, none of them received the full measure of what God had promised them. And yet, to their last breath, they believed that he would, and they believed that he could. And that's, I think, is really powerful. What that tells me and tells us is that as long as we believe in God and hold on and don't let go, man, we're going to be heroes to somebody, and we're going to be heroes to something. And I believe that's what God wants to remind us of tonight. The second thing that that particular bit of the Bible says is that God has promised even more for us than he did for them. And I find that really mind-blowing. When you look at somebody extraordinary, say extraordinary. Extraordinary. No, not just extraordinary. Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Okay. Extraordinary things that God did. God is saying, actually, I'm going to do even more extraordinary things through people like you and people like me. And how many of you know God can do that? How many of you know that God is around to do that? I think that's amazing. Another book of the Bible, book of Daniel, the famous one, when he kind of ends up sorting some lines out and his mates put a fire out, is it says that if you just know God, just knowing God, you will be strong and do great exploits. I think that's amazing. I think it's brilliant that just through knowing who this God is, something of his strength becomes our virtue and great exploits follow us. I think that's great. I think tonight, whether you've come tired or weary, or whether you just feel full and strong and vibrant because the sun is out, I just want to tell you that the sun is always out. His name is Jesus, and every day is out, and every day is working the Bible for us and not against us. Thank you very much. So we've been looking at a whole bunch of heroes, and we've been kind of putting it in context of, okay, these guys lived extraordinary lives, but actually they just did what God told them to do. That's kind of basic. But it goes on to say that people today, you and me and people that we know, man, if we just do what God tells us to do, we suddenly become a hero to somebody. And I think tonight, people, God wants to send us out to be a hero to somebody this week. How many of you would agree with that? How many of you just hope that's true? How many of you know that that's true? So we kind of set ourselves a bit of a question a few weeks ago. And it was like, okay, if some of these heroes turned up, let's say Abraham turned up and you had the opportunity to have him round to your house for dinner. Don't go and do the funky chicken outside. Where was it?
I'm going to hear the end of this.
No, you won't. don't do the funky. If you had some of these heroes around at your house, maybe it's just for an hour, what is it that you would want to find out from them so that you could live a hero like they lived a hero? So it's not just we're kind of doing a bit of a Bible study, because it might be you know a lot about a lot of these characters. The question was, if they turned up, if they were sat next to you right now and you just had an hour with them, man, what would you want them to tell you so that you could be one of these people that God just does great things through? So tonight we're looking at Ruth, and I kind of asked to do this one, and not because I've got too much of a female side. I just think for me the book of Ruth, it's one of the first books that God really began to speak to me in, just as I became a Christian a long time ago. And there's a couple of bits of this book. It's not very long. It's only 4 or 5 chapters. But there's a tremendous story of God's tremendous ability to take people like you and me, maybe people that we know that have just been brought up on the wrong side of life, maybe on the wrong track of society, maybe they just look different, sound different, and they live different, and yet somehow God could intervene in their life and totally transform them. So we're going to look at a few bits of this Bible, of this book, and we're just going to pull out some things which I think Ruth would want us to know. Is that okay? So it's going to be about 20, 25 minutes. Then we're going to have, everybody's looking at the clock, just to check, yeah, easy. It's going to be about 20, 25 minutes. The clock's over there. Okay. Sorry, is that too long for you? Okay. And then after that, there's an opportunity for us to kind of pray, talk to God, maybe talk to one or two other people if you want to, because God wants to not just speak to us tonight, he actually wants to change us tonight. It might be that we're very used to hearing God speak, but actually we want to experience God's change dynamic tonight as well, I think. Is that right? So a little bit of a history lesson. Ruth actually lived around 1300 BC. So remember, BC is before coffee. All right, I hope you remember that. So it's about 1300 BC. And as I've already mentioned, she demonstrates God's tremendous ability to take everything that shouldn't have been successful and put it into a place where it could be. Ruth came from a country of Moab. It's an extraordinary place where they worshipped all kinds of different gods in all kinds of different ways. That was her culture. She had suffered tremendous loss. Her family group had suffered tremendous loss. Her mother-in-law, whose name was
Naomi.
I knew I'd say that because we have a Naomi on the desk. Her mother-in-law has suffered tremendous loss in all kinds of different ways. In the first way, and sometimes we skip this, is actually Naomi and her husband, who was alive at the time, had tremendous wealth and fruitfulness in Bethlehem. Not because they sold Christmas cards, because at that time there weren't any. Okay, they were just working the ground, and God was blessing them because that's what God said he would do. That's the kind of God God said he was to them. But for all kinds of reasons, mostly through drought and famine, they moved into another country, another part of the world. And all kinds of crises hit them. Life began to take its toll on them. How many of you know what that can be like sometimes? Just 3 of us, they're honest enough to say so. But Ruth, this first chapter of Ruth, helps us to see beyond just everything is rosy in the garden of God, but actually God wants to change our garden. God wants to transform the ingredients of our life so that he can then prosper us. It says in Ruth 1, this in verse 2, the man's name, this is Naomi's husband, was Elimelech. And the names of the two sons were those two names, which are really difficult to say, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah. So at least they sang a little bit from time to time, I hope. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. That says that in verse 4. After they'd lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left not just missing her husband, but also her sons. The male heir, the generational blessing, had cut itself off. Where was she going to go? What was she going to do? All Naomi could do was to return back to the place of her birth, her heritage, if you like. And she said to her daughters-in-law, "I'm going to go, you need to stay here." All right? Because I'm too old to have a decent husband now. I don't know whether, you know, she looked great. She might have lost, with stuff like that going on, it does affect you. I don't know how she looked, but in her heart, it was like, for me, there's no future husband. There are no future sons. There is no future generational blessing for you. You just kind of need to find your own way. But she knew enough about the God that she followed to say in verse 8, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. I believe there's a principle here Ruth would want you and me to know. Mercy will always triumph over judgment. What this is saying is actually God will make sure that as we put our faith and trust in him, he will prevent us from ending up with the wrong thing. He won't punish us according to our lifestyle. He actually will sooner give us grace, which means he gives us everything, even though we deserve nothing. And I think Naomi had an element of this. She said, I think the Lord will bless you just because of the way that you have shown a love towards me. I think Ruth would want us to be encouraged that if we have Christian friends, if we come from a Christian family, if we know people, maybe we don't like it, but we know people have been praying for us and they talk to us about the Lord. If you don't know Jesus, then those people at the moment are holding you in check until you do. God is going to use the prayers. He's going to use the prayers like the ones we're offering up on Wednesday, and he's going to express his tremendous mercy and compassion and hold back from our lives what we do deserve, and instead give us more than enough. And I think Naomi caught this, and she began to speak this over these two women. Then she kissed them. She offered a sign of affection towards these two women and said, we'll go back. You go back to your people. Naomi said, return home. Why should you come with me? Verse 11. Return home. I'm too old, as I've said. Verse 13. Why would you wait until they grew up? In other words, your time, if you're not careful, is going to come and it's going to pass you by. I think Ruth would want us to know that God doesn't want your time just to come and pass you by. I think God would want you to know that you've been made for such a time as this one. I think Ruth would say to you, actually, when you put your trust in God, time helps you. It doesn't hinder you. I think Ruth would want you and I to know that time in God works for us. Works for us. Whatever age we are, the greatest time is ahead of us. Whatever our experience of God might be, the greatest experiences of God are ahead of us. I think Ruth would want you and I to know that. This is right, isn't it? It's what? I thought we said it was fun. It is fun. Verse 14. This set off something in these women. I mean, man, they were probably a bit sore, a bit sensitive. It says they wept again. Verse 14 for me is one of the most significant personal, life-changing actions and activities that there is in the entire Bible. Remember, these two women were from a different tribe, different language, different social, different cultural experiences. Everything about them was different. Everything about them was the wrong side of God's best. Everything about them excluded them from God's faithfulness and provision at that time. Naomi was in there, but these two are outside of there. This is incredible what is about to happen here. Two things happen from two different individuals. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. Now, there are loads of mother-in-law jokes, and I'm not going to say any of them. But let me just unpack what this word kiss means a bit. It means just a quick glimpse, just a quick touch, just a quick peck. What can that mean? It can mean all kinds of things. We just dabble, we just mess about, we just touch stuff that we like, and if we don't like it, we move on. We just get excited about certain things. Fashion. We get excited about cultural things. We get excited about the newness of new. And we kiss it, and then we're gone. It's here 1 minute, gone the next. But I think Ruth would want us to know what she did. But Ruth clung to her. I think Ruth would want you and I to know that what you cling to shapes you. What you cling to shapes you. What you hold on to with all of your heart, your strength, your passion, with no fear or worry about the future whatsoever, what you cling to will shape you. Better make sure it's God. I love this scenario where these two women have come through the same journey, the same experiences, the same loss, the same everything. One, kiss and gone. The other one clung on. And because of what they both did, their response afterwards was totally different. Orpah, we hardly hear of again at all. But Ruth begins to do this. Verse 16. Ruth said, "Don't urge me to leave. Where you go, I will go." Ruth is saying, "Your destiny is my destiny. The God who is going to provide for you is going to provide for me. I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to trust my future with the God that you trust your future in." I think Ruth would want us to know your future is very secure when you put your faith in God. I think Ruth would want everyone in this room to know that wherever you've come from, whatever side of the track of life you think you've been on, whatever side of society you think you've come on, you put your faith in God and suddenly you're going where God is going. I think that's kind of exciting. Does anybody else agree with that?
Yes.
You're right, because if I stand too close, we get Velcro, so I'm staying over here. Is that okay? Just in case. Then she goes on and says this, "Where you stay, I will stay." Whatever God is going to provide for you in terms of accommodation, even if it's just a piece of shade under a tree, I know your God will provide for me too. I'm not going to worship all these gods I used to. I'm not going to follow in the pattern of all my history and culture. I'm not going to follow all of the causes and effects of my Moabitism. I've just made up a whole new word there. Man, I'm going to go with you and I'm going to stay with you and I'm going to follow the blessing that's following you. Man, that's a lot of life to give away. That's a lot of your dreams and your visions, and it's a lot of your passions. She gave the whole lot to one of God's people. I'm just going to go with you. I'm going to stay with you. But then she says, "Your people will be my people." Well, I don't have to live as a product of fashion or my culture or my image or my lack of image or my lack of anything. I don't have to live under... Well, they're all like that from over there. Or he's always like that because that's who... I don't have to live out of that. That might be my current, but it's not my future in God. And I think Ruth would want you to know God can change anybody. And I mean anybody. How do I know that's true? Well, I'm going to freak you out in a minute when you find out who Boaz's mum was. She was a prostitute called Rahab. How did she get in the Bible? Because she welcomed two spies in and said, "I'm going to trust in your God." She hung a little scarlet yarn out the house to make sure that when God came in, that she was all right. Even if we've given our entire body over to the wrong things, you put your trust in God, you get a new beginning. You put your faith in Jesus, you get a new start. It is only Jesus who can take even the marginalist of the marginalized, incy-wincy people over there that have done everything that is wrong, you put your trust in Jesus and he'll put it right for you. It says, "Your people will become my people. Your future will become my future. Who you worship is who I'm going to worship," she then goes and says. In current language, in our Christendom now, we'd call that at that moment she gave her life to Jesus. Well, Jesus never appeared. Oh, yes, he did. You read about him in another chapter. He's called a kinsman redeemer. At this moment, she decided, "I'm not following self anymore." And Ruth will tell you and he'll tell me the same. There's nothing good in self. Put your trust in God. You've got to give everything. There's nothing left. When you unpack all of what she gave... She gave her future, her destiny, her hopes. She gave expectations of God's provision and God's leading. She even disconnected herself from all of her tradition and religiosity. And ultimately, she said, even if it doesn't work, I'm coming with you. That a very life. For me, this is such a significant couple of bits of scripture. We know maybe some of this story, that just by happenstance, I don't think so, she ended up in a field that she never should have been in. She ended up being positioned next to people she should never have shared any time with. She was given opportunity to drink from water that was not for her. But then I know Jesus did the same. He said, come to me, although we're thirsty, I'll give you a drink. He said, I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've lived like. I don't care what you've done and what you haven't done. You put your faith in me and I'll change you. I'll give you a drink. I'll give you something to eat. Even if you've got no money, Jesus says, come to me even without money. That's the God of Ruth now. And we find that in this time, this kinsman, this owner, this person of wealth and influence, whose mother was a prostitute. Man, I bet that went down well. He knew that God can redeem. He knew God can turn a life around. He knew that God could take a rubbish reputation and clean it and put a right one in there instead. God knew that he could take any old thing and transform it by his power. He knew that. When he saw this Moabite S, he knew there was a potential for change there. Because he'd experienced it himself. Man, he shouldn't have been in the book. But in other words, should have Ruth. Suddenly Boaz looks out and says, here was this young woman. And he calls to her with this tremendous word of affection, daughter. You don't find that word in the Bible that often. It's very rare. Naomi used it in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. But Boaz used it as a term of affection, as a term of trust, as a term of belief in. But Jesus used it too. I believe God is saying exactly the same kind of thing to you. Daughter, son. You'll know which one you are, right? Come to me. A term of affection. A potential for him living and loving in us and through us. And we go on through the story that there is a custom where you can buy back heritage, you can buy back family roots, you can buy back and secure future for people. But you've got to have a relationship with that people group, and you've got to have the finance and the confidence and the authority and the reputation to do that. And Boaz was a humble man, so he gave the first choice to the eldest around, but he didn't want this foreign, funny-coloured, strange-speaking woman called Ruth. He wasn't interested in that. Boaz said, right, if you don't want her, I'm going to have her then. Do you know that? Boaz was an honourable man, and it was custom to, if there was any redeeming, if there was an investment in family, in trust and in giving all for future, then it was the eldest's right to say no first. And he did say no. Why? I have no idea. All I know is that Boaz saw a different future for Ruth than this other guy did. And he said, okay, then I will stand as her credit worthiness, not just for now, but for the future. A kinsman redeemer, the one who comes in and changes life, not just for now, but for future, is a redeeming kinsman. He's not just a friend. He's not just an ancestor. He's not just a generational person. He secures your future. And the Bible speaks about Jesus as being our kinsman redeemer. He secures your future and he will secure my future. The Bible says he's paid the price. The Bible said he has met every bill. He's cancelled every debt. The Bible says that at the end of the day, he has done more than enough to redeem your life and transform it eternally and to secure your future forever. That is what Ruth would want us to know. Is it's not over until it's done. It's not over until it's finished. It's not over until God's redeemed it by the power of his love. Then it's done. And when it's done by God, it's done forever. I think Ruth would want us to know this one last thing. None of these characters had any right or any reason or any virtue to be where they were. But you find Ruth appears as the generational grandfather of King David. Should not have happened. But God made it happen. You find Rahab is mentioned in the first gospel, the gospel written by Matthew. She shouldn't have been in there. She was just a naughty girl until she gave her life to Jesus. And then suddenly she was different. But she appears in there. Man, that gives me great confidence. Why? Because the Bible tells me now I've given all my life and all my destiny and my future to Jesus. I'm in the book too. Might not be in this one, but I'm in another one, and it's written in heaven, and nobody's going to take any names out of that one. And I think Ruth would want us to know this. I'm going to finish with this, then we're going to pray, because it's, see, 22. Come on. As Ruth would say this to you and to me, don't believe your own press. Don't believe your own press. What I mean by that is what you've been told about you, what your life has told you about you. The subtotal of our life isn't worth a tin of beans without Jesus. Don't believe what the media tells you that you have to do and have not to do because of your age, because of your status, because of your background. It is insignificant to the purpose and the plan of God for you. Don't believe the press of your future. Well, nothing ever grows there. Yes, it does when you're there. Well, nothing ever works here. Yes, it does because you're here. Yeah. Don't believe the press about you. But believe in God's faithfulness. The very, very first word in one of the versions of the Bible called the Infallible Version, the New International Version, is this. Hebrews 11 verse 1, the first word is now. Yeah. I think God is challenging everybody that came tonight. Now, who are you going to believe in now? Yeah. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday, but now. Who are you going to believe in now? Are you going to believe in a redemptive God who can buy back everybody and restore everyone? Or are you just going to believe in yourself? Kiss God and run away? Or are you going to cling to God and let him change you? Let's all stand up, shall we? Woo! That's the shortened version. Encourage you in your own time if you can. If you've got a Bible, you don't know where the book of Ruth is, it's on page 292 in mine. Find the index, it's at the front. Find the book of Ruth and just have a little read through it, and God will speak to you. Just close our eyes together. It does all go dark when you do that, but it's all right. We're safe. Father, I just want to thank you so much that you are able to redeem anybody who puts their trust in you. By the power of your blood and the power of the body that you lived and gave, you can redeem any generation, family, household, and you can guarantee its inheritance and its future as we put our trust in you. I thank you, Father, that when we put our trust in you, we live under the favor. Like Ruth did. She just happened to be. Why? Because your favor was with her. She just happened to go. Why? Because your favor was with her. She just happened to see. Because your favor was with her. Father, I pray tonight, by your Spirit, you speak to every heart, every mind, every body in the room, and remind them, maybe for the first time, maybe for the manyth time, that your favor is here. This is the year of favor. And I thank you that just as Ruth and Boaz and her family began to delight and celebrate you, when we put our confidence in you, we'll find ourselves doing the same. Because I thank you that faith in God transforms us, releases joy, releases peace, releases hope and confidence. Your people will become my people. I will go where you will go. I will stay where you will stay. And your God will become my God. And I thank you and I praise you and I give you all the glory. And if you want to, you can shout aloud, amen. Amen. Let's just celebrate God's goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just have a seat just for a moment. That's brilliant. I believe God has spoken to many, many people tonight. Why do we meet here on a Sunday? Because we want to hear what God has to say. If for some of you, well, maybe that's kind of the first time you've heard God speak to you in that way, that's great. It won't be the last time. The Bible says that God is like a shepherd who speaks. All we have to do is go, bah, and what he says, we're just sheep, all right? But if you would like to know more about this Jesus, if you would like to give your life to Jesus tonight, it's really simple to do that. It's really easy to do that. There's a few of us here would love to speak to you about doing that now. Don't put it off, all right, now. Maybe you just have a sense of, actually, I've lived a little bit on the edge of it, and I kind of just live for God in the least way that I need to get away with it, all right? And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we start well, and we kind of lose a bit of whatever. Maybe tonight you've just heard that Ruth's heart was, everything I am, I give you, God. Or maybe you want to do that again this evening. That's great. You can do that this evening. A few of us will be here, Richard and myself. Andrew is over here. We'd love to chat with you and pray with you, but not pray for you. All right? We'd love to pray with you. What I mean by that is we're here kind of what you're expecting God to do, and we'll just agree. Yeah, God, you can do that. Is that okay? It might be that in your body, you have a big voice saying you're sick and you're going to stay sick. Maybe you've got a voice in your body that says you're in pain and you're going to stay in pain. Well, you've already heard one encouraging story that within 5 days or less, was that, we have someone fall over, surgical needed. God's a great surgeon. Yeah. On Tuesday, there was a bloke that we met in town, hadn't walked for ages, had he? He ended up with his stick saying, Jesus has healed me, Jesus has healed me. Jesus heals today. People with curvature of the spine healed. Why? Because he redeems our bodies too. And it may be that you just want someone to agree with you that tonight you can get your miracle. Well, tonight you can. Now is the time for miracles. Is that okay? So we're going to bring this part of the evening to the close. We're going to get the guys just to do something a bit light. That's Tim. Come on, Tim. Let's welcome Tim and the guys. We don't have to, God doesn't need music to move, but we do sometimes, right? Is that right? You're trying to trip me up. God doesn't need music to heal, but sometimes we do to move. So when we were down in town, and I think even with Zara, that, okay, it was worship practice, but I think someone just spoke and it happened, didn't it? Yeah. So if you want someone to chat with you, to pray with you, if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight or re-give your life to Jesus tonight, then don't leave until you've done that. Is that okay? Don't leave until you've done that. Let's just stand together, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.